you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Whenever I'm like at a restaurant, like a waiter person or a, you know, barista or something, they'll say that, and then they'll be like, that'll be $10. Like, I don't, it's like enough cred to be like recognized, yeah, but not to actually get anything for free.
Damn.
I know, I somehow missed the swag option.
Yeah,
you missed notoriety.
You missed the cut. Please, if you're listening out there and give you see Michael, just give him a cup of coffee. Give this dude something. Just toss a quarter at him. I don't know.
That was a really sad story.
Isn't it?
Like, the whole thing just came way down.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo, and this is my co-host and husband, Steve Breen. Are you gonna say your own name?
No, I would like for you to introduce
Steve
me.
Green.
Thank you.
Stephen Paul Green. And today, you know what? I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, we're just using this as a shameless plug for our movie that's coming out, Funny Story.
Yes.
And we got the director and producer and co-writer, Michael Gallagher, here.
Hello.
And we have the lead, the star, the main man, Matthew
the
Glaive.
The main squeeze.
Hello. Celebrity actor Matthew Glaive.
That's right.
Actor, yes. Hand model.
You've seen him in a bunch of shit, so make sure to watch if you watch the feed on YouTube, you can actually see his face and you're like, oh, I've seen him in all kinds of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously, sometimes I'm watching like a random movie or like Narcos and it's like, oh, there's Matt again.
Yeah, every time. I watch anything and Matt shows up.
Oh,
I swear.
Matt, that's Matt.
You're probably in Game of Thrones, even though you probably don't know you were.
What were we watching in the theater? We were watching something in the theater the other day and you were just on a tar mat.
Yeah, you're like, you like had a cell phone.
No. Tarmac?
Yeah.
It was First Man.
Yeah, oh. Damien Chazelle.
Oh, yes. That's what it was. Yes, it was First Man. Yeah.
First Man.
Yeah.
That wasn't
they
the
didn't
other
have
day,
cell phones
but
then.
Well, it was a couple months ago, but yeah. But yeah, point being, yes.
That was just another time where we're like, oh, shit. We had
yeah,
no
we
idea.
Were just, yeah, you were just like, whoa.
And then he's such a humble
we
man.
We know people.
He doesn't talk about this stuff. He doesn't name drop the shit.
No, look at his face right now. He's like, this? We're talking about this?
Dude, I would be like, yo, you guys heard of this movie, First Man? I'm in this fucking movie everywhere I go.
Yeah.
No and matter who like, I talk to.
It's all my social medias, all my people yep. would know about it every day.
But him, you hang out with him, he doesn't even tell you this shit.
Yeah, he doesn't have countdowns on his
Instagram.
5 days until you see me in this movie.
He's so mysterious, he doesn't even have an Instagram, really.
I don't know how to access my Instagram account.
He is locked out of it.
So you have one, but you can't get
in. I have one, but I keep trying to get in, and it won't. I got my daughter set it up.
You're such a dad.
What'd you do? You get banned for nudes?
It's set to private. And it's literally he has a couple followers, but you have to request.
The followers are my old neighbors.
So we tag him in all the posts for Funny Story, and I think he has like hundreds of requests. He just doesn't know how to actually.
Oh,
get
so
in.
That's why I haven't been added. I thought you were just like really elite and like it was like super a really elite. Exclusive no. Instagram club.
No, like all the followers on Instagram have the same last name because it's my neighbor's family.
It's just for them. Everything you post is for them.
So we talked about Funny Story in previous episodes, but now that our movie's coming out, and I said our movie because Steve also co-wrote and co-produced
executive produced. Thank
it,
you very much.
And I'd play a supporting role in it.
Play the role of Brian, a very integral role.
Yes, my name is Brian. No spoilers.
And I play the role of a centaur, but I'm not going to spoil it.
That's a spoiler.
No, totally I didn't spoil it.
Okay. Okay, but now Funny Story is going to be available. When is it a release
when
to the public?
When is this podcast out?
Well, we're going to make it so that it's available.
It's available now.
Yeah.
It's
you just got lectured to. That's a window into my world, dude.
The movie, Funny Story, is on iTunes right now.
Yes.
Go watch it at home.
Is it only on iTunes? What else we got?
It's also going to be in theaters.
That's right.
By the time you're listening to this, it's in your local theater.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be in every theater.
It's going to be in every theater?
3,600
screens. Don't double check that, but it's going to be in theaters.
Don't get all their panties wet.
Did you guys say the name of the movie?
It's called Funny Story.
Maybe they thought we were just talking about a funny story.
That's true.
We never actually said the funny story, but that's the name of the movie. It's Funny Story.
Yeah, by the time you're listening to this, you can watch it at home on iTunes, on demand, Amazon, that kind of thing. Or you can go out to a movie theater, which for the younger kids is a place where people watch movies together, not at home.
Yes, without their phones.
Michael, this is always one of my favorite things to ask a fellow writer, all this shit. How do you pitch the movie to people? Because you know how we go to social things in LA all the time and stuff, and people are like, what have you been working on?
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, I did this movie called Funny Stories coming out in a couple weeks. And then they go, oh, what's it about? And then you're like, here we go. You know what I mean? What's your quick elevator pitch?
What's the pitch?
Yeah, what do you say?
It's about a famous actor father who is trying to reconnect with his grown-up daughter, and in trying to rebond their relationship, accidentally ends up ruining her life.
That's your, I like
That's
it.
That's my elevator.
I like it.
Because it's intriguing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't tell you everything, yes, but it gives you enough where you're like, oh, some shit's going down. So you might want to check it out or ask follow-up questions.
Matt, how do you pitch it to people?
How do I pitch it? I started it with an asshole who ruined his family and tries to reconnect with his adult estranged daughter.
Hmm.
Nice. And a little darker. I like it.
But I mean, but it's a great comedy.
Yes.
No, it's funny. Matt sees the movie kind of on the more dramatic side, and it's been interesting playing it at film festivals and showing it to people because we get wildly different reactions. Some people, we showed the movie in Alaska, in Anchorage, Alaska, and the audience there is like, this is a parody of people from Los Angeles. Like, that's how they saw the movie. They're like, this is a total satire on LA and LA culture.
That's funny.
And woke and all that kind
that's
of stuff.
That's weird.
And we're like, sure.
Sure.
It's that to you.
Whatever you want
to
be, baby.
And then we showed it at, you know, places like Sonoma, and the people there were like, this is our story. Like, we're 65 years old. We haven't been talking to our children in years. Like, we have new families that we've set up, and we've been estranged from our loved ones. But we love this movie because we connect with it on a deep, dramatic level.
I talked to some cats at Slam Dance, and they pulled me aside, and they're like, hey, man, this movie is my life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, are you saying, like, what are you saying exactly? They're like, Walter is me. And I'm like,
that's right. Remember those two guys?
Yeah. Yes.
They were like, oh, yeah, I am Walter. And I thought they'd make a great T-shirt.
Right.
I am
so
Walter.
We got merch down below.
Merch.
Click below.
Yes,
there's
please.
A link.
Yeah,
right?
Merch.
Click to the
if
link.
If you're Walter, buy the shirt.
And
if you're more of an Emily, you know, you can buy that shirt too.
And if no one has seen the movie, they'll maybe think you're a Breaking Bad fan.
It's super esoteric, yeah.
But the movie, it's a dramedy. It's a family dramedy that's not for kids.
True.
It's hard. It's really hard to sell the movie because it's kind of in the tone of Sideways about kind of people who aren't, you know, upstanding citizens who are trying their best but kind of fucking everything.
But that's what I like is that everyone's so flawed. But they're like, that's what makes them, you know, people.
They're real.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I feel that to pique most of people's interest, because I sort of watched, I watched their interest and then I see the light leave their eyes a little bit. And so I decided to juice it a little harder.
Oh, let's hear your
go
pitch.
Go ahead.
Okay, so my pitch is an older actor who is estranged from his daughter because he was in like a Hercules, the Legendary Journeys like level TV show in New Zealand. So he doesn't know his daughter, decides to reconnect with her. And on the way to go visit her, because she's going to an extended 3-day weekend with her friends, He picks up her friend because her friend's stranded. And on the way, he has sex with her friend and because they get drunk. And then when he gets there, he discovers, oh, shit, that's not my daughter's friend. That's my daughter's girlfriend. My daughter's a lesbian. I didn't know this because I'm estranged. And, oh, shit, this isn't like an extended three-day weekend for us all to hang zone and like just chill and play racquetball. Like, my daughter's here to get married. And what the fuck is he going to do?
And so that's you give and away roll the first,
credits.
And yeah, you give away the first spoilers.
And I can tell you what happens,
and then,
actually.
And then Steve tells
wait,
you all the
really
credits.
Are you really going to include that in the podcast? And yeah. They're not going to watch it.
No, 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 because what's he going to do? That's the, that to me is what the movie's about.
Can you at least, right before, put a little sound effect and like, ha-ha, spoiler, ha-ha. You know, can you do like a little...
I'll just use what you just did.
Ha-ha.
Spoiler. That would be the best. Yeah. Because I'm completely opposed to giving anything away.
Well, yeah.
I disagree because you got to juice the interest.
I totally do. I agree with you. I agree with you.
You know why, Matt? You don't have huge jumps or nothing we can put on the poster, Matt.
I know. I know. Right. I know that. I know.
He's
that.
Working on it.
I don't know why. You got a bunch of hotties in the movie. No reason not to put them all in the
so true.
Poster.
That's an absolute fact. Right? I agree.
You know what?
You put a picture
that's,
of a bridge
that should be your pitch. It's a bunch of hotties, and then one of them's dad. The that's dad right. kind of like ruins the one of their lives.
Right.
Yeah. With the
real
wrong,
hotties though.
With the wrong marketing campaign, they could have done a photo shoot where they like got like a stock footage of like a woman's legs and then a bunch of heads poking out.
Oh, I love this.
You know, like from the '80s where it's
really
like a
good.
Porky's type poster.
Yeah.
And it's like, what happens? It's a funny story.
And
that would be the wrong way to go.
The right way to go is a picture of a bridge.
The movie is a nuanced and layered portrait.
It's one of those art films.
It's an art film.
It is.
There's lens flares.
But it's fun, man. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's very fun. No. It's very fun.
It's one of those movies where I think the less you know, the more you actually are surprised by the things happening. But even with the description you said, there's still a ton of stuff that
that's
goes
what
on
I'm saying.
And happens.
To me, the movie is about what's he going to do. That to me. I actually agree with you, Matt, where it's like you don't want the spoilies out there because it's really fun to watch it with an audience and they don't know what's going on. They're like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Like, I love all
that's
that.
That's been the greatest joy of sitting in the theater is when the turn.
Yes.
But
when the turn happens, the whole movie begins. It's just interesting. It takes 15 minutes.
Yeah, about 15,
15
minutes,
16
yeah.
minutes for the movie to begin. But the setup's all fun because it's kind of like moving along. But then when it hooks, and then it goes right into introducing everybody. Yeah. And it just takes off. And it's just like, oh, shit. It's such a great oh, shit.
I do agree with that a lot. But every trailer that I watch, they usually do give away the first spoiler.
The first act.
The first, like, the first hook.
I know.
Just because that's what lures people into watching it. I mean, you guys have been on the festival circuit, so people that bought tickets, like, they're obviously there to watch all the movies. They're going to watch all the movies. And then they get the benefit of getting that first spoiler and not knowing. But for the public out there that's, like, has a bazillion movies to choose from to spend their time watching, I think you do need, like, a little bit of them.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely in, like, a war of attention with, like, TV shows and movies and YouTube.
Internet.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just... Even Game of Thrones, they got to throw in a titty scene every 5 minutes or whatever. They gotta have somebody's butt walk by.
But titties aren't even enough.
I have to give a shout out to like this SNL sketch with Andy Samberg that they made fun of Game of Thrones like in the first season, where it was like we meet the writing staff and it's literally Andy Samberg is like a 13-year-old boy with braces.
That's
and, like,
great.
Nipples. He's like, I think they should be naked.
Great. Exactly.
It's really funny.
It's great
because if you watch that show, it's like probably.
Dude, I just love all the people being all studious about Game of Thrones. Like, man, I don't know. Like, it's so heady. The cinematography. They spend $25 million an episode or whatever, and I'm like. Like, come on, man. It's the Bachelor jacuzzi scenes every 10 minutes or so, which is great. That's what we all love.
Medieval Bachelor scenes.
Yeah.
It's so the Game of Thrones is the Bachelor set in medieval.
They're the same. They're the same. How dare people act like the Bachelor is somehow worse.
Except she doesn't give out like four roses. She gives out four heads.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. Yeah. It's like, guess what?
The stakes are higher.
You get to be on the show. You get to be off the show. Hey, guess what? You're off the show now, asshole. That happens every week. Am I wrong? It's the same shit as The Bachelor. Everyone pretending like all these middle-aged white ladies are so wrong to be obsessed with The Bachelor, and they're so much headier because they like Game of Thrones. I'm like, uh-huh.
This is a good analysis.
Same shit. Yeah.
So, funny story. Was on the festival circuit all of last year. How was that experience, traveling and getting to take it? You picked up a lot of awards, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Let's brag about it.
The movie's won like over a dozen
awards.
Say we. Or something.
We have won so many awards.
Thank you. Yes. It's a
royal.
And
we're going to brag it. We're going to brag about it.
Well, no, the movie's played all over. It premiered at Slamdance in Park City, which is the festival where like Christopher Nolan's first movie played, and Lena Dunham, and I'm trying to think who else. Paranormal Activity premiered there. Like, it's a really cool indie festival for like very small movies. And so this movie like kind of took off from there. We got invited to a bunch of film festivals. It played in Mallorca, Spain, which
wow.
I had to get a map to figure out exactly where that is, because I'm not the most
well-traveled
international person. But it's this amazing
place.
It's incredible.
Best place.
The best place.
Yeah. And that is like, I want to go to Europe.
Yeah.
Go to Mallorca.
Go to Mallorca.
Oh, man. I've been all over Europe and never went to Mallorca.
It's incredible.
It's that easy.
Because it's like you get ruins and beaches and just beautiful scenery
and
great
beaches.
People.
And everyone is happy and the food is great.
Oh.
And it's just
are they topless on the beach?
You know, topless, we didn't
you can be topless anywhere you want in Mallorca.
I have a very short attention span. I need to have some sort of
nudity. We needed to be topless.
But the coolest thing there is that they screened, funny story, we were the opening night movie, and they screened it in a freaking opera house that had 1,000 seats.
It was originally built in the 1600s.
Everyone was in black tie.
Wow.
Literally, everyone's in black tie. There are all these like really, really wealthy Spaniards coming out. And they literally flew in Melissa Leo and Mads Mikkelsen, the actor. And they both
got awards.
And literally, they had an award ceremony where they each got trophies and made a little speech. And then they were like, and now, funny story.
That's funny, man.
And then they screened the movie, and it, like, killed.
It just killed.
That's awesome. Killed.
And we had seen the movie so much at that point, we were going to, like, sneak out and just, like, have dinner or something. But we were like, I don't know. We kind of ought to watch it here.
That's a pretty sick place to see it.
And literally, and we had Spanish subtitles, you know, because you never know if people are bilingual or whatever. But the movie played really well, and it got, like, a standing ovation at the end.
Wow.
I mean, we're literally in a small island in Spain. And the movie's, like, connecting with people. And people coming up after.
Oh, they were crazy for it.
Whether they were from, like, Scandinavian countries. Because I mean, there are people all over come to Mallorca. And it's, like, it's kind of like the Hawaii of Europe. Like,
oh,
it's close.
Okay.
It's like a massive escape vacation place. But it's all old architecture and brick streets and just
that's
absolutely
so cool.
Romantic place to be. Absolutely romantic.
Yeah, you just sold me on Mallorca more than the movie. I'm going to go to Mallorca.
Go to Mallorca.
Yeah. The water warm?
Forget the movie.
The water's lovely. Yeah. We highly recommend Mallorca, but the festival was so cool because like everyone who came up to us were like, this really connects with us. I mean, there's this actor, Colm Meaney, who's in a bunch of stuff. He's like this great Irish actor. He came up to us and he's like, this happened to me. and then just like went into it, like as
which
the credits
part
were rolling.
Of it?
No, he like told us like he was.
We can't say too much.
Yeah, we can't say. Anyway,
come on.
He's so protective. I love this.
I'm protective of our friends.
I love it.
He was a Walter or he was a Jana?
He's a. I think people connect with whoever
or he was
they're
an
closest
Walter.
With in life. Yeah, more of Walter.
Okay.
Because I think Walter.
He loved the film.
Yeah. Well, I think the character of Walter in this, you know, he's an actor who was known for this like Hercules type show called Youngblood, and he was very famous for this role. And then after that, he's just kind of been living on convention money and residuals and things. And he has a pretty good life, but he's kind of known for this one thing. And in the process of pursuing that career, he sort of abandoned his family. And so he has all these kind of like ruins left about his life. And at this point, when we see him in the movie, Walter is trying to make amends and reconnect and fix those things. He's like, oh, I kind of forgot about this for 20 years. Now I'm going to pick it back up. And I think a lot of people do that in their lives. When we were writing the movie, I thought the story was like much more like small and specific, and it wasn't necessarily going to relate to everyone because it was a little bit more personal for me. But in just talking to people and showing it, it's like it's amazing how that this is such a common thing for people, you know, in their 60s or so that have like lived life and maybe started been divorced, had children, have younger children. They're kind of coming into themselves and figuring out like, oh, like there's all these lives that I got to reconnect with.
Huh.
Like I just watched this John Lennon documentary, Imagine. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's from the 80s, but it's like all the home footage of John and Yoko, and it's like takes you through his whole life, and you get to see all this intimate stuff. But he had a kid when like the Beatles were in their heyday in like the 60s, and then he didn't reconnect with him until like 20 years later. Julian Lennon. Yeah. So he reconnected with Julian Lennon like years later and was like, I was a shitty dad.
Yeah.
And like the movie really gets into that and like him saying that. So like John Lennon is Walter in a way. It's like this story kind of keeps coming up again and again. Like people are trying their
actually,
best.
Actually, I was channeling John Lennon for the role.
Love it.
A lot of my behavior was John Lennon. The interesting thing about the film that's been the most enjoyable has been these wild interpretations. And the ending is the wonder. The ending is magnificent of the film because it's not. It's like slightly open to interpretation, although obvious, but not. So different people, what we get out of it is almost like out of a therapy session. Everyone gets their own experience at the end,
yeah,
where you have been through some shit. And so that's what you come away with. Or you're like, oh, that's really sad. Or, oh, it's really going to be good. And it's like everyone lays their own baggage mm-hmm. on the film. And the older the person is, the more baggage, the more banging the table. Yeah. and it's been so fascinating hearing responses, and it's hard not to tell the movie because it's a good secret movie to not want to give it away. But the responses from some people that have been like either very sober and not forgiving. And in, early on, Michael was telling in interviews that the movie was about forgiveness. And it was about forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a redemption thing. It's a come to Jesus type moment for everyone to go like, everything hits the fan and then we're in a new place. And you are either on the other side or you're still holding. And it's really interesting how some people,
yeah,
a lot of people close to me have had the most aggressive things to
really?
Say.
Really?
Yeah, very like surprising. What? I can't say. Because the dialogue gives it away. It's the worst.
Yeah.
But you're like Walter has nothing to apologize for? Like
no, kind of it's not like I'm defending that Walter doesn't have anything to apologize for. It's just that there is no forgiveness there.
Yeah, some people see the actions that the characters take.
Some people
take
seeing Walter
the film.
Being killed and things like that. It's like,
oh, wow.
Wow. Okay.
I can picture the type of person who would say this.
Yeah, well, like, I think the movie is kind of a Rorschach test for anyone who's like bringing their own baggage to it. They might see it as a delightful, fun comedy. They might see it as like a really heavy drama that made them like think about some shit that they've done in their life.
Yeah.
And they're not ready to address it. Or it's like, oh, I've been screwed over by people like this, and I hate those people, and I'm never going to forgive them. Yeah. And so I watch this movie, and I hate, and I'm angry mm-hmm. because that's I have so much resentment because I haven't forgiven, I haven't done that work. So right. It's like when you talk to someone who's seen the movie, you kind of get a sense of like where they're at with themselves, with other people, if they've been fucked over, if they feel like they've made amends. Like, yeah, you kind of like learn a lot.
Dude, for me, it's fun because having written the movie with you and all this shit, it's like, I just wanted to keep fucking with Walter as much as possible. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. I'm almost like at the zoo eating popcorn, watching this guy just get slammed around. Like,
because
like,
it's fun.
Because that's what's fun for me
the
is
tension.
Watching. Yes, yeah. And just watching his face just constantly melt as he realizes he fucked up again. Like that's for me. That was what I loved the most about even watching it back. I just love watching Matt get. Like he's just a perfect punching bag, and and because he knows that he deserves it, he takes the hits, and he's like, you know, kind of he's but he's still funny about everything. You're very funny.
Well, what was fascinating was when Michael first sent me the first trailer that was being put together for it. I was of course completely opposed to it, and maybe too idealistically so, because you do need to give it away. You need to give some stuff away to get people to want to see something, but. On his own, he comprised another thing that he added an element to, and it was two. I don't know if he's shown them to you.
Yes, yes.
I'm sure he has. But it was so fascinating to see two separate trailers that were almost two separate movies because one was so wacky, fun, and sex romp. Yeah. And the other one was like, oh, you done fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big, it was more like, wow, ramifications, human behavior, ramifications. Yeah. And honestly, both hit it from two angles.
Yes.
And the one could grab an entire audience. The other one could go like, oh, I'll take a piece of that. Because it was a different piece of pie.
Mm-hmm.
One was a good romp and one was like, ooh, you bit off too much. And it's like, and you're off. That's what I love about it. I've seen the movie so many times and my favorite thing to brag about the film is how tremendously lean the movie is. There's no fat.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lean film. There's no hanging around. There's no music score to tell you how to feel. There's no extra said words. It's just been trimmed and cut, and if you don't get it, it's an intelligent film, well made because it was. It doesn't spell anything out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It leaves you to go like, oh, what are you gonna do now? And it just goes to the next. It doesn't re-say anything. Doesn't go over old ground. And I mean, there were scenes that were cut that I would love to have had in it because no one likes to have stuff on the cutting room floor. But in the bigger picture, not necessary and well done to lose it, which is a huge you know, sort of a great insight to be able to do, you know, to yeah. see what you don't need.
Right.
Like, how hard is that to yes. have written so much, have so much, make so much, and go, this is great, and then just going like,
and then
yeah,
kill your babies.
But watch what happens as it gets like this, and it gets down into a fighting speed, and then it just shoots out, and it's been so great watching their response.
I'm such a proponent for killing babies; it's actually insane. Yeah. I almost get off on it. And yeah. when I'm in writers' rooms with people,
we should say
in
metaphorical
context, yes,
babies.
Yes, metaphorical babies.
Oh
thank
no,
you.
Real actual babies.
No,
no.
The script ideas.
No, because I used to be such a protective fiend about that stuff, especially like when I was younger. But now to take it away from people when they're really excited about something, to take it away from them and see how they deal is so interesting. Like if I'm in a writer's with somebody and they're stuck on a joke, I try to take the joke from them to see if the scene works without it. And then if they can see that it can work without it, then they can see what the scene's really about.
Yeah.
It's not about your joke.
Right. Yeah. That's what I mean. Not getting hung up on the ego of a performance mm-hmm. in any direction and just staying with the line.
Yes.
Staying in the line, and that's been a treat watching people enjoy it.
Did you ever have a reaction that you guys weren't expecting, like something just wild?
The overwhelming joy, honestly, the overwhelming joy from the Mallorca audience when I have the phone call with my best friend and he's telling me what he wants to do to his daughter's girlfriends was like, they're very forgiving people over there in Mallorca.
Whole different place.
That's a whole different mindset.
That is a monologue that a 13-year-old boy wrote. You know what I mean? Like, oh boy. Yeah.
But some people don't grow up. I feel like, I mean, I just turned 30. And
congrats.
Thank you.
Welcome to the dark side.
And
I've had the same haircut since I was 14.
That's for sure.
And so in like some sad way, I don't see myself that different than when I was 14 or 15. I think like, I don't know, maybe it's different for women, but for men, I think you mature to a certain degree and then you're kind of stuck there and your body just changes and you're just getting older. And it's like, but you're mentally, you're sort of in some mindset that you are in always. Like you don't really see yourself as different ages. I don't know. I feel like that's maybe that's just me. I don't
Dude,
know.
That's so funny because we wrote that monologue and he's like a 50-year-old man giving the monologue, but we're two, you know, like 20. I was like 28 or something writing exactly. that shit. And you're what? You were 26, I think.
Yeah, I was 26.
Yeah, so it's, you know, that's how universal, like once you're grown up, I think.
Yeah.
any comments? No, well, I don't know anything about grown up.
Nice.
I'm saying that but when like, I first read the script, I didn't like that scene.
Oh yeah, you really didn't.
I did not like it at all.
Had a lot
and
of
I kept
notes.
Telling him I had notes about how to change it.
What scene was it?
It was the scene the
Pete
Peter Gardner.
Yeah,
oh,
the
oh,
scene
gotcha.
The scene with the teenage girls
yeah.
because I was like I don't like this. I got teenage daughters and I don't want to be in a movie that is like it was rubbing me it was the wrong
but
age
guys
for
like
me.
That.
Yes.
Guys,
it was for me it was rubbing me the wrong way. Now in Peter Gardner's hands it's magnificent.
He's incredible, yeah.
Right? So it's obviously that's a touch how to lay a touch on something.
Right.
And he completely does it.
If it was Tom Sizemore maybe call the cops.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Right.
I get it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And it's yeah. Yeah, I was going to say something else.
And,
okay,
so for those out there who have not seen the movie yet, what is something that you personally are looking forward to them seeing the most?
I mean, I think just based on if anyone has seen anything else that we've done, I mean, because we've written so many movies and I've directed some, and it's like you watch these other movies we've done and they're all different. You know, they're all different genres. This one is a comedy and we've done other comedies, but this is a really like heartfelt kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people would be expecting that.
Very grounded.
No, God, no.
Yeah.
From the kind of stuff that we've done before, which has been a little more heightened.
I wouldn't have expected it.
Capital C comedy. This is like this is a different gear.
One of my favorite...
This is not interactive sex.
No. One of my favorite realization moments that I've had in life with Michael was when we did a table read for The Thinning. We did our first table read for The Thinning.
And that's the first non-comedy we wrote.
And we hadn't sold it yet, nothing. Like, we were at a table with 9 people.
Yeah.
Like just close friends of ours.
Because just to give you some context, Steve and I have written like, I don't know, 10 scripts or something. And whenever we're writing, we get to a point where we're like, we think it's good, but now we need other people to read it out loud. We need to put it on its feet and see if this thing like makes any sense.
Yeah.
And so, we're pretty hard on ourselves. Like we like to get notes. We don't want to just have people congratulate. We want to say like, no, this isn't working. We didn't understand this. We want to get feedback so we can make
we every want to project hurt the child
as strong as possible.
Yeah. So then we're in there, and as they're reading these intense scenes of these kids getting taken to like rooms where they're going to get killed because they took this test and they failed the test.
This dystopian future.
Our friend Shauna Malcolm's like laughing her ass off.
Yeah, because she knew all the comedy stuff we did, and pretty much exclusively.
And this is the first 15 pages of the movie. So me and Michael are sitting there like, oh shit, why is this getting laughs? This is like murdering the room. Like, why are we getting so many laughs? Because she sees us and goes, they're comedy guys. This is a comedy movie.
They're just writing. If it's serious toned, it's satire then.
But that's an interesting thing that when you do certain things, people can't imagine you doing anything else.
Right. Exactly.
They can't imagine it.
Yeah.
And so they're laying their discrimination on top of something. And so they're seeing it through that filter only.
Yes.
And it's that exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you said about...
They're not really reading it as it is. They're reading it as they think it should be because they know who you are.
And it's right. like you
they
said about know. Pete yeah. Gardner, right? He's doing a monologue about some dark thoughts that he's having about his daughter's friends, and that's intense thing to read. But when Pete Gardner performs
when
it,
when he does it, it's completely light. Yeah, it's his touch. Yeah.
It's fluffy. It's, yeah. it's eating donuts.
Yeah. Pete Gardner, if you guys are listening at home, he's on CW's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. He plays the boss.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
in that show.
He's yeah. great Excellent. On that show.
And he's been in a lot of fun things over the years.
Yeah, he's great in that.
Consummate professional.
Yes.
Hard to work with.
No, not at all. Just saying.
We are going to take a quick break, really quick, and then we're going to come back and talk more about the movie, and I have some questions, some very hard-hitting questions.
For us?
Some very hard-hitting questions.
Okay.
Yes.
We're going to call our attorneys.
Hey, are you listening to Should They Don't Tell You? Because if not, how are you listening to this ad about Should They Don't Tell
it's
You?
It's because they can't turn it off. They don't know how to turn it off.
Well, that's pretty convenient for
They're
us.
They're throwing their phone on the ground right now.
Once you can figure
it
out, could you please rate us and subscribe and like tell us that we're beautiful?
Listen.
We want it.
We need the validation. But mostly we need the ratings because, I mean, that's basically how the world is
that's
run,
how
my friend.
We continue to make more and more and more of this content, this glorious content that you love so much.
If you like the show, support the show. And if you don't like the show, support the show.
And it's for free. The stars are for free.
Yeah, you give them away for free. It's not like if you give 5 stars, you pay more money. They should have charged for every single star. That would have made so much money. And it just made a killing.
All right, and we're back. So I told you I had some questions. Before going mackerel. On this
That's how we do breaks.
I wanted to like have a beard when you came back. Right? I was kind of like,
he was like mid-sip.
What's up? Okay.
All right. So as you were talking about, you started not in this genre. You wrote a lot of other things. You did directed a lot of over-the-top sketch comedy, teen horror, Smiley.
Nicky
well
Limo's
as,
been in a lot of this stuff.
Oh, true. I have. Yeah. My name is everywhere. And talk about playing a certain type of role and people not being able to see you play anything else. It was a very specific type of role I played in these things for a while, and that's all anyone would cast me as.
Yeah, Nikki got typecast by me as a hot girl,
as you know, a hottie.
He's a terrible person for this.
But no, not just you, though. Like everybody. Like, everybody.
Well, it's funny, too, because you've known each other over the years, like, getting to know you, like, you were saying, like, that was never the person you were growing up, and you sort of, like, started playing this part because you got cast that way. But you, as Nikki, is in Inside Nikki,
mm-hmm.
is not that.
Inside person. Edition Nikki.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, my acting coach had told me to start playing more roles like that, like, to sex it up a little, like get more ditzy, get more like pretty sounding, hot sounding.
Pretty sounding.
Because he's basically
pretty
like,
sounding.
He's like,
that's amazing.
But I wrote a sketch
yeah.
about this that Kasim G played that you directed were like, basically he was like, yeah, so people see this and they're like, oh, I know who you are. And then you start talking and then they're like, oh, now we don't know who you are. We don't know where to put you. And so then they don't cast you. And so you just got to change this to match this, and then you'll get cast. And I'm like, oh man.
I wasn't going to cast her as my wife until I saw a picture of her fat when she was younger, and I was like, I get you.
That's
now.
So true. He yeah. saw a picture of me fat as a 15-year-old, and he's like, oh,
now
we
I
could
know.
Date.
Yeah, now I know that you're cool.
That's what he, oh. that yeah. actually happened.
Yeah. That's funny, one of those funny stories, you know.
But yeah, so and then the dystopic teen thriller thinning. So why
the franchise?
The franchise. Yes.
Thank you.
The trilogy.
The
well, Hitcher, almost trilogy.
Which Matthew Glaive plays Governor Dean Redding.
That's right.
And spoiler alert, President elect Dean Redding.
That's a big spoiler, Michael. We're anti spoiler on the show, Michael. That's I hope huge. We played the same spoiler music.
There weren't
for
any
that.
Ditzy Hawker roles in that movie, so
that's
I cannot,
for sure.
Yes. I was not in that one.
In the future, there are no hot people.
There are none. They
there
they
are
don't
no
pass the
hot
test.
People in the
they lost the.
They don't. The
they
don't
they
the
all
test.
Fail the test every year. That's what happens.
But they died pretty, okay.
But there
so,
are fights with people's shirts off, so
that's
there
for
is
sure.
a certain factor.
Sexy dude,
you're going for.
You're drilling the sequel right now, my friend. And there's a really. Good couple
fight
of
scene.
Fight scenes, shirtless fight scenes between two men,
yeah,
who are sweating.
And so we got Charles Melton from Riverdale, and he knew Taekwondo, and he came in there and fought in a cage ring all day.
He shaved his entire body and fought in a cage all day.
And literally, they were just like oiling him up. And I'm like, I know who the demographic is. It's
oh,
young
so
women.
So good, man.
So the question is,
yes.
why this story then?
Why funny story?
And why now?
Well, it's funny because we wrote this movie in like, I don't know, 2014, 2015. And it took kind of an interesting turn because in my own life, like I had been a little disconnected from my own dad. And then he just came back to me one day and was like, hey, like I'm having a kid. And I said, oh, cool. I haven't seen you in a while. And like you came all the way, like unexpectedly, you just showed up and wanted to tell me this. And I was like, that is such an interesting story. Like we got to, that was like the kernel that set it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because the character of Walter isn't really my dad.
Right.
It's just, but the event that happened in my own life kind of like sparked this thing. And because Walter is kind of a combination of a lot of actors we know and we've worked with over the years, like character actors, you know, people that are trying their best, but like have kind of, you know, done some damage along the way. And so it was sort of a combination of those two things and then just our desire to mix it up and do the kind of movies we watch, like Sideways or
right.
Like The Graduate, you know, things that are kind of like funny but dramatic and heartfelt and like connect with you in a real way and, you know, leave you with, you know, kind of thinking about your own life.
Yeah, because I think this is the first movie that is like I'm a demographic that would watch this, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's tough because when you start out making stuff, you can just make things for yourself.
Right.
You know, and say, I'm the audience for this, and then you'll find other people because I like this. Or you can say, you know, I want to make something in a certain genre.
Yeah.
For a certain audience.
Well, and for the younger generations, I think those tickets sell a lot more. It's easier. It's like that's where the big box
office. The eyeballs
office,
are
yeah.
in the box office. Yeah, and it's tricky too because coming from doing sketch comedy on YouTube and working like with a lot of YouTube comment, it was very centered on youth-oriented content, like mm-hmm. doing stuff for teens. And so that was kind of our world for a while. And so it almost got in my head like those are the people that watch.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm transitioning from doing stuff on YouTube to feature films, it's like, okay, well, I want to be able to speak to those people that have been watching the stuff online. And so we did that for a few years with these types of movies geared for them. But then at a certain point, it's like, well, those aren't the real movies that I like to watch or see. Like
yeah.
We watch all kinds of things and we like more mature stories. And so this was an opportunity to say, like, let's shift into that gear. Let's try something that's more hard.
Plus, your audience is definitely aged with you because
yeah.
I get stopped by like 20 something year olds and they're like, dude, I used to watch you in middle school. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
How
it's always
old
the T-sketch audience.
In sixth grade, I watched you. I'm like, what?
That happens to me. Like,
I'm not old.
Whenever I'm like at a restaurant, like a waiter person or a, you know, barista or something, they'll say that. And then they'll be like, that'll be $10. Like, I don't, it's like enough credit to be like recognized,
yeah.
but not to actually get anything for
damn.
Free.
Damn.
I know. I somehow missed the swag option.
Yeah,
you missed notoriety.
You missed the cut.
Please, if you're listening out there and
give
you see Michael, just give him a cup of coffee. Give this dude something.
Jesus.
Just toss a quarter at him. I don't know.
That was a really sad story.
Isn't it?
Like,
sad?
The whole thing just
sad.
Came way down.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it started out with fame. It started out with like immense fame.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
ended with. That'll be $8.50.
How he doesn't get free shit at all.
Be $8.50.
Yeah, man.
I said I had some hard-hitting questions.
Oh, yeah. Do you have more?
Yeah, so I have one for Matt.
Oh.
So, Matt, because we talked a little bit about how you've been in freaking everything. I used to watch you in sixth grade in The Wedding Singer.
Yes.
Incredible movie.
Incredible film.
Yes, I love that movie.
It's like, do people watch that like every day? Like, that's like on that's an iconic country in every language.
I forget, is it Easter every or something? Airplane. There's a certain time of year they run it like crazy. And maybe they just run
it around
Valentine's.
I think it's Easter season, yeah.
It's definitely Sandler's best movie.
They run it between... Yeah, it's a total Easter movie.
Yes.
It's a very much Easter movie.
So, I always thought that.
But you know why? Easter. Because wedding season
is spring.
That's it. So it's always around that time, you know.
Yeah, so you've been on a lot of big budget stuff, a lot of TV shows. What makes you take an indie role? Like, what do you do to pick your roles?
It's really genuinely simple. It's just a story that I can do something with.
Hmm.
Like, I'll read things and I'm like, wow, that's kind of good. I don't know that I'm the dude. Mm. There's plenty of times that's happened, and there's other times I've read it and I said, yeah, I or seven others could do this. Mm-hmm. And that's just life. That's, you know, you go for that and you go up against 7, 10, 20, 30 other people to try to do a thing. But I'm not necessarily excited by certain things. I'm, you know, it's my job. It's a job. So your job is to go tell stories and do the best you can do and do a good job. But it's exciting when you like and you begin to, the brain flips on and you just start going down things going, well, I could do that, and then we could go that way with it, and then that could do that. And then you just start to build while you're reading. And that's always an inspiration. Doesn't happen all the time. But I like that the most. It's just a story that I know I can do something with. If I start getting excited, then I'm not tired. I'm not...
Yeah.
I judge my own narcolepsy on how much I can go after something. I start to go like, oh, and then I'm laying there going, I could probably do that with it. And then I get excited by the story. And it could be... it could be a short. I've had it for a short film that I did that I was like, oh, that's an interesting idea. Let me see what I can... It's just, if it's a good story, if it's this big, I'll fill it and I like it. If it's that big, I'll fill it. It's just a matter of the story. And then you have you have something to offer is really... You know, to that story, to that particular story.
And Matt's incredibly versatile. Like, he's played like every type of role. I think like every genre. Is there a genre you haven't done? Musical, maybe. That's the only thing I can think of.
I was in musicals in theater.
Hey, he's saying in Funny Story.
Yeah, Funny Story is a musical.
Yeah, it's a musical.
It's a music. It's a total musical.
Yes,
it's a true story.
It's whatever you want to be out there. If you like musicals, please buy it.
If you don't like musicals, it's only one scene.
Yeah, you're good.
We should have called it La La Land 2, so it shows up right next to La La Land.
Call it Avengers 7.
Do you remember
Avengers End Games?
Yeah, see.
Remember when I wrote a series and I said it was going to be called La La Land, and then the next year La La Land announced itself.
A brutal defeat.
You should have jumped on that. Come on, Nick.
I know. I could have been in all the SEO during that time, everything.
That's why you got to register your scripts with the Writers Guild.
I know. Like, they would have done shit. I know it. No.
They don't even know what they got over there.
I think it's less that and more like, let them make the movie after I already made my series, and then my series just keeps popping up when people are trying to find the movie.
That's good.
That's what should have happened.
Hashtag marketing, hashtag SEO.
Yes. Hey, Matt, when you read this script, were you like, I'm all in? Or were you like, I have some thoughts for Funny Story?
Both.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell, man? What do you got? What do you mean you got thoughts? Isn't the script so sick?
He had director approval.
The script had a lot of problems.
Oh, man. I just wanted to just get a roundabout way of have you compliment
me.
Yeah.
No. I mean,
it was never weird
because half of it was written really well.
Yeah, that's true.
But which half?
Well, which half?
Yeah, we'll never know.
No. It was I was just saying. It's the same exact thing. As you're reading and you're turning the pages, I'm like, I see it. You know, and it's very exciting to, you know.
When you're in an independent like this and you're basically like, you're the lead, you could really throw around some weight and some power and be like, yo, I want it to be like this and all this stuff.
Oh, dick on set.
No, you were so cool.
Such a dick.
That's my problem.
Right?
This guy is so cool. You could have done anything you wanted. You could have wore a cape in every scene or whatever you wanted to do. You realize that?
Oh, I was recently on a movie where there was like a A-list celebrity. I won't name, like A-minus list. But like they were like a small supporting role, but they completely changed up all like a ton of scenes.
This is what I'm saying.
I think I know who you're talking about. I can't wait.
Right?
I can't wait.
I was like, is this
happening? How come Matt Glaive is so cool? Matt Glaive could have worn a snorkel in every single scene.
I had some choices I wanted to bring.
Could have wore flippers.
No, but it's like Matt has input, but it's always good. It's always to help the movie. Like there's a scene where when I don't know how to talk about the movie without spoiling stuff, but there were a few different points where Matt was like, I think it should go this other way, or I think this reaction should be a little different. And it just changed the dynamic of that moment and create such a great reaction from the audience. So it's like every input that Matt had was like in service of the thing. It was nothing about his ego and trying to be like, I have to wear a cape and a snorkel. Right.
You know what's, you know, or what's, with beer breath, he gets in your face, he's like, I got to make out with this chick over here.
You know what's...
Yeah, now Matt is...
And it's Jana. She's playing my daughter. Right?
I don't know about that one.
No, it was great because... it's funny because, you know, different, you know, the pressure cooker of the 15-day shoot.
Yeah, we shot in 15 days.
Shot in 15 days.
It's intense.
A lot of stuff to get in.
Yeah.
A lot of things. We'd be like 3/4 through the day and he's like, okay, we got to do all our young blood, all the show within a show within the movie where we're showing a TV show.
And we had a half day.
And all of a sudden we have a half day to do stunts and do fights and do all this stuff. And it was like, but Michael's energy is always like, okay, we're just going to set the camera up. I'm just going to do this. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we only have about 30 minutes to get 4 scenes. So, but it was all calm.
Yeah.
And we're still just doing it. Yeah, and we do it again. And then we're always like done at dusk. And it was just one of those things where the energy, but also it's a testament to Michael's knowing what he wants, the calm,
yeah,
everybody's confidence with doing what they're doing, but a tremendously mature and cocky, confident crew. Because those guys were so cool and so good. They were just so cool and so good. And they were like, we'll get it. We'll do it. We'll get it. They got it. They hooked it up. They lined it up. They made it happen. Everybody was just in sync to go with like a real kind of a crapshoot. We were in that one location for days, the bed and breakfast. And it was just like knocking everything out that had to get knocked out. And it was just great. It was...
Well, it's really helpful because the crew we work with have been on almost every project we've done, like from Internet Famous, like our DP, Greg Cotton. He shot Internet Famous, both Thinning Movies and Funny Story. Carly Engelbrecht, our production designer, she did Internet Famous. Our composer, Brandon Campbell, he's done all our movies. And it's like just having that kind of shorthand with everyone, it just helps you go so much quicker.
I wanted to ask you about that, too. So there's people out there that want to get into indie filmmaking and all that. How did you start? Like, how did you put together these resources? And how, like, where do people start if they want to go on this journey?
Well, it all starts with the script.
Right.
That, like, that's like the truth. I'm not just saying that because Steve and I wrote the script.
Nobody heard it. Totally.
And stay away from the microphone.
Steve's nursing a Diet Coke. Please sponsor the show.
This is like 15th it. Diet Coke.
Easily.
No,
I'm
but
gonna lined up over there.
But the script is not only what, you know, what you're doing, and it's really why everyone's doing it. Like, that's the thing that brings everyone together, because anyone can write a script, but to write something that is going to make everyone say, oh, I want to do this, and maybe I'm not going to be paid $1 million every day, but I want to play this role. Or the cinematographer's like, oh, I want to shoot this movie. Or it's like each person is coming to it and saying, there's something I can bring to it, and I can collaborate on it. And it's not like, oh, you're just going to tell me how it is and force me to do everything. It's like, no, we're all going to collaborate on this thing together and try and make the best movie possible. So if you come with that attitude, I found that people are just so excited. Like, they really want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of something great, something that's trying to do something fun and funny and heartfelt. And if you have a strong opinion, like a strong vision about what you're doing, and you can translate that and explain it to everyone in each department, like, there's no one that would say no, short of them being a dick.
That happens too.
Yeah.
So, and you did you fund most of this movie?
All of it.
All of 100%. It, yes.
It's 100%.
So that's funded. Most of it. Yeah. It is all of it. did you try to go to outside funding? Was that a choice, or were you like, it's not going to get made if I don't do it?
Well, yeah, it's funny because we've had like a lot of success getting these other movies going. Like, The Thinning is all at Legendary. You know, it's like a huge company. They do all the Batman movies and stuff. And then Internet Famous to do with this company, Lakeshore, and they did, you know, like $1 Million Baby and stuff. So it's like we had all these connections and things, but... The issue was the way movie financing and packaging works is that you need to make something in a specific genre that you are connected with. And since this was different, this was like a departure for us, there wasn't, like, they couldn't look back at the other movies and say, oh, yeah, this connects for this audience or something. They'd be like, oh, why don't you want to make something for, that's YA. Well, like, if you want to do a dystopian movie, yeah, we could probably get funding. If you want to do something that's like all about YouTube stars, yeah, we could probably get funding. But it's like, we didn't want to go that route. And so that kind of took it in a different direction. And that was the biggest feedback. So I felt like I had to bet on myself. And I've had to do this a couple times where it's like, you just have to put all your chips on red and say, I believe in this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to work hard and invest in myself. And so that's what I did with this, and that's what I did with Smiley when I made my first feature, and even Totally Sketch, like starting that YouTube channel. It was like, I got to do this. I believe in it, and it's going to happen. You kind of just will it into existence.
Yeah, that method seems to work for you. Like, you're the epitome of, like, someone that believes in themselves. Like, a lot of people, like, they just aren't,
very,
you know.
Arrogant.
They don't
arrogant
start.
Piece
like,
of
really
work.
Arrogant guy.
No, absolutely.
I mean,
and maybe I shouldn't believe it myself.
Somebody should say it.
Maybe I should sell cars.
No, I like it. I think that's inspiring, because a lot of people, I think, you know, they get beaten down once, and they're like, oh, shit, I shouldn't try it anymore. Like, I shouldn't try anything I believe in.
Yeah, well, I think it also comes from... just, you know, we only have one life to live. And so if you want to do something and you have the ability, even if it's risky, it's like, if it's your passion, you got to go for it. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, when else can you do it?
Yeah.
And see, and I think that we all live in an artificial reality. And so you have to go for it, because that's like the...
That's why,
like,
you chose camping.
You get an unlimited amount of choices to do it. So you might as well have the most fun here.
Yeah.
That's true. What was the festival submission process like? Did you just... find a bunch of festivals and apply, or like, what? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing is, like, we've never really done film festivals before.
Yeah.
With any of the other movies, so this was like coming in real fresh.
Yeah.
And kind of with like a little bit against us, because the other movies are really not festival type movies. They hadn't really won awards or anything like that. So this is like a new thing, and you know, people have preconceived notions, so they could look at your IMDb or look at your other work and say, I don't know, this guy who directed Thinning and stuff, like, is he trying to do a festival movie? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, they're just coming loaded with all that.
Because it's very a more artsy community.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we just literally blind submitted it to, I don't know, a handful of festivals. And we got picked in Slam Dance, which was amazing. And then from there, the other festivals heard about it and said, we want to see their
movie. Oh, that's cool.
And so that was a really great launch pad, because, like,
so Slam Dance was kind of the exposure to the other festivals.
And then a word of mouth.
Yeah.
It was, and then people from other festivals that are checking out other festivals, they'd show up, they'd see the movie, and they'd go, come to our festival. And it just continued on that way.
Yeah, and it was really cool, because you'd screen the movie in some town like Sonoma, mm-hmm. and it would be sold out. Like, we'd show up, because you never know.
It was
like,
awesome.
You never,
Sonoma was
you,
great.
You
so
never
cool.
know if people are going to be there or not, because, like, we don't really have the means to promote it within a community. And it's like, so there could be four people there, it could be sold out. So we show up and it's like sold out all these places, and they're adding screenings and things. It's like, oh my God, like,
that's
there was just
so
a demand
cool.
for it. And people would tell their friends and be like, oh, it's playing next Tuesday, you got to go. And so it was just like, in each of these communities, like, it was just being spread. Like,
dude, in our family, nobody gives a shit
oh,
to
yeah.
watch anything that
that's
we make.
So true.
And then this movie,
my family
and like,
won't
yeah,
shut
we
up
see
about
all
it.
Of it.
My mom tells every single person she can talk to about it, and my all my aunts, they're obsessed with it.
They're like, when do I get to actually watch it?
Yeah,
though?
When can I show
When's
my neighbor? When can I show my friend? Yeah. So now they can.
Now
you
can
go
you
to
right
iTunes
now,
and go do that. How's that? Speaking of iTunes, like, the distribution process, I'm just getting all these processes out because
sure.
I think this is like a first, like, the festival was a first for you and stuff. And I think people that want to make their own movies or want to attempt to try to go this route, I just want them to know, like, what's in store for them.
Yeah. Distribution was tricky, but we ended up going with this company called Blue Fox Entertainment. And so they are kind of the intermediary between, like, getting the movie onto different platforms and, you know, making sure it's seen on TV and DVD and all that kind of stuff, and making sure it gets into theaters.
And they found you through the festivals, or how'd they find
you?
Yeah.
So I, through the festivals, you know, the movie gets reviewed and written up, and, you know, people say, like, oh, yeah, we've gotten really, like, nothing but glowing reviews so far.
Yeah.
And so from that, the buzz was really positive. So we just get people reaching out from, you know, various companies saying, like, oh, we want to watch your movie. Like, we're considering it for distribution. And so Blue Fox is one of those.
So I think it all comes down to have a good story, write a good script, and then...
do it well.
Yeah, make a good product.
Yeah, do a good job.
Just
do a good job.
Yeah.
You need to do a good job.
Do good.
Don't suck.
Do good, don't suck.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I mean, we've been extremely lucky, and I think our team is really great. And I think we had the benefit of doing several other features, so we could come into this with all the knowledge of how to do something on a tight timeline, on a budget, and and really just empower everyone to make the best movie possible.
Yeah, that's how you had the confidence to do those four scenes in like a half an hour, knowing that the crew is capable of it. You've done this before. You've seen it happen.
Well, it's like, I mean, you remember doing Totally Sketched, like, 10 years ago. Can you believe it? It's been 10 years?
No.
I just was freaking out the other day.
No, you would be like, come by for a two-hour shoot. And 13 hours later, I'd be asleep in your closet. Like, are we done yet?
But it's like, you remember how we'd shoot those. Like, it was quick. Like, we'd shoot a lot. I mean, those interactive videos, like, there's so many different options that you'd have to film. It's like, we film the main story, and then we film, like, six different branches of it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's a lot of takes, it's a lot of coverage.
Yeah, the Valentine's Day ones were like little mini movies.
Yeah, they're like 45-minute, hour-long movies.
3 days. Yeah, 3 days of
and
shooting.
The energy that Matt's talking about, Michael never raises voice to anybody. He's never stressed about anything.
Yeah,
he just walks around, wears Bermuda shorts, and just
is
like, let's do it.
You can't tell if he's scolding you or praising you.
It's the best.
I knew I wore shorts too much when, as a gift, as a wrap gift, Matt got me a pair of shorts.
Yeah,
but fleece, what kind of shorts?
They're fleece.
I was trying to get him fleece shorts for Slam Dance. In Park City, Utah, in the winter. They didn't come in time, but I'm like, man, we're going to a cold place. You're going to need something warm. Fleece shorts.
That or fleece just shorts. A gift card from Tommy Bahama, and you're good.
Yep.
It's fun.
You're very good.
That's a troll move. You're a troll.
Is that really?
I think it's a good troll, yeah. Getting him shorts? You should have got him shorts that are attached to sandals, so they're actually physically
shorts
attached with a string.
Attached to sandals.
Yeah, see? So you can't lose your sandals.
To be fair, I don't wear socks with my sandals or my
That's
shorts.
That's true. I've never seen that.
Thank you.
You're always barefoot.
I want that on
things.
The record.
It's on the record. It's on the record.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious on your guys' end because we haven't talked about Nikki.
Yeah,
Limo's.
Ask us questions. Yes. How about
interview them?
Yeah, please. Finally, a question for us.
But Nikki, like working and doing Totally Sketch and Smiley and then Funny Story, did you notice like a change in the process?
Oh, definitely an evolution.
And the type of.
For
content.
Sure, the content. Yes.
Yes. The scripts are different.
Yeah, I remember on Totally Sketch just a lot of like, can we not have our boobs out this scene? Can we not wear
Steve's answer is no.
No, the answer is no.
Like, it was a firm no.
For me, I didn't care about my boobs really, but my stomach, I like really never wanted to show. And so whenever he's like, wear a bikini top, I'm like, I just don't want to. Like, can we do it without the bikini top?
Your butt's in some pretty good gifs out there.
My butt's fine.
Some
my butt's out there.
Some Totally Sketch gifs.
My butt has been out there.
Yeah.
I don't think I can hide it, really.
The internet owns you.
Yeah, I think a lot of Totally Sketch was like thumbnail oriented and sex comedy and like very easy laughs.
Maybe some might call lowest common denominator.
Yes.
Some might call it that. I call it comedy.
Yes.
Some might call it innovative with his interactive storytelling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Exactly. Back then when I used to get
someone in my goddamn corner.
I got your back.
When I used to get
I always said set the jiggle factor to fucking high, dude.
Yes. When I used to get trickle down audience from your audience, my demographic on YouTube was 90% male, almost 100% 8 to 13-year-olds.
Wow.
Yes. And now it is 60% women in their to like early 20s to mid 30s.
The times have changed.
Yeah, times have changed. but yeah, with Smiley, I felt like very much like it was like it was your directorial debut, and it was fun, but it was familiar faces, a lot of YouTubers, so it felt like kind of like a big YouTube video.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Well, I mean, that wasn't a knock on Smiley, but like it felt familiar. It felt very like, oh, is this a real movie? You know? And then
thank you.
I think
it felt safe, very safe.
We almost put that review on the poster because it was one of the better ones.
I'm just trying to say you've grown a long way.
Yeah.
This is how I compliment.
Unreal.
This is my life with this woman,
dude.
I don't get compliments.
I think I'm being so
complimentary.
I just
have a hard time or an easier time.
I think she's getting to the part where she says really nice stuff.
Yeah, I feel like the whole time I've been complimenting you.
Not what she thinks.
In my head, I'm like, wow, he should be loving this right now.
Oh my God.
One of my favorite scenes in Smiley was when they have sex with Santa Claus. Is that in there?
That is a great scene.
That is a great scene in Smiley.
That is a sketch that we did with Tony Cavallaro, who's in the dirt on Netflix, playing Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. Hope that's okay with everybody.
Hope that's okay.
Yeah. I think that should be legal.
I first met him in a sketch that never came out, that Maker did, and he played a stripper that I was on a date with.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fun.
Hi, Tony. Anyway, let me get to the compliments. So, like, I'm just saying that was the beginning of the career almost 10 years ago, which is crazy.
It's over 10 years.
Yeah. Well, the Smiley was 2011, and then came out 2012. So yeah, that, and then the evolution of going to, well, I wasn't in Internet Famous or The Thinning, so I can't really talk about like how that was different.
I can tell you
or
about
anything.
It.
No, it's cool. Okay. But I can tell you that I loved Funny Story, and I thought that it was just so grown up and adult, and like very much felt like a real movie, and like it felt very, very professional. I never once was like, oh, this is like a sketch, you know? It was like grounded and good story, great script. I didn't never read the script and was like, oh, this isn't realistic, or there's too many boobs in this. You had some boobs in it, yeah, but I felt like it was tasteful and it was not gratuitous.
We had tasteful nudity.
Tasteful nudity. Very tasteful.
It was also an alt title for the film.
It was diverse. It's LGBT friendly. Yes. Got all the things. Very inclusive.
It's got everything you want in a movie.
Everything you want.
Matt, Jana's very wet in a scene.
Jana is in
full frontal nudity.
Matt is nude in the film. Matt has one of the, I think, I'm going to try and get this on all the lists, but one of the top shower scenes of all time.
He's very wet. I will say he is drenched in that scene. And that's how I
describe the shower scene. When you read the script, you said there was a nude scene, and he said, and there was a singing scene, and he's like, I'm really afraid of the nude scene, a.k.a.
the singing
scene. When I sing.
Yeah.
That was the only problem being in the shower.
No, the only thing that's important about the film, and it's a funny thing, because I've done different kinds of comedy. So you have your, like, you know, your Airplane, your Naked Gun.
My favies.
Types, right?
Which like I work Tribeca. On Andrew Tribeca. That's a great show.
Which is great. It's one of my absolute favorites. And then there's like, I should do a litany of my own work, and it'll sound like I'm bragging.
Better
you Things, can, which I really love. Better Things is exceedingly awkward anti-comedy, Pam Adlon's show.
Nice.
If you guys have seen it.
Haven't seen it yet. Watch it. I want to watch it.
I'm not kidding. It's fantastic. It's Pam's life. I play her ex-husband.
It's an award-winning show.
And it's nice. But it's an anti-comedy. It's all just unfolds in time, and it's just awkward, awful, but it's cringe funny.
Like The Office?
No, not at all like The Office.
Oh, okay.
There's no style to it. There's no camera moving in and then giving you like, this is what that meant. Mm. None of that. It just travels with her.
Okay.
Through her life.
Nice.
It just travels and shit unfolds, and you're like, it's more like you're looking in the windows.
Mm.
It's that kind of voyeuristic. That's what I wanted out of Funny Story, because I thought that sometimes you have to punch it, sometimes you got to ham it, sometimes you got to do all these things. And other times I've told Michael over and over through filming the movie, pull me back if I try to be funny. If I try to be funny, bring the hammer down, because you don't want to try to be funny in that film. It just has to be funny. It has to be a circumstance.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's a bust. It's an ego trip of, wasn't that funny? There's nothing in that movie that's supposed to be, wasn't that funny? It's funny because it's real.
Right. We're laughing at your pain.
Yeah.
But
your
pain has to be
real. And so the reason for bring that up is, what is the shower scene? He's like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, what are we going to do? And it's like, it just has to happen.
Yeah.
That's all that's going to happen.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
It's just going to happen.
Because it was so real.
It's just get the fuck out of there. How wet? Is what it's about.
Mm-hmm. How wet would you say you were in that scene?
I was moist at first.
Yeah.
And then I was full on wet at the end.
You were just full dripping wet. I was having a hard time in there.
I started dry, but we worked into it slowly, and then I was moist.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I was wet.
And on that note, we have some final thoughts coming up.
I know which one I'm going to use for an Instagram clip. Got a good, pretty good feeling about that.
You know how to promote this film.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Michael, a final thought to wrap up today's events.
Well, I want to say I'm really proud of you guys, because I've been watching you over the years from little babies. I knew you as baby actors, and then I saw you grow up and become teenage lovers, and now you're grown married couple, and it's really beautiful.
Thank you, brother.
Because you're so talented as performers, as writers, as comedians, humorists. Can I say that?
You can.
Podcast extraordinaires. Yeah, you guys make me laugh more than probably anyone in the world. And so I'm just so proud of you that you found each other and that you're doing this for an audience of what I've been told, 15 million people.
It's huge.
Daily.
Yes, 15 million listen to this podcast.
It's just a dream to be here.
Dad
again, and
is that
and
how you're supposed to compliment people?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
Nikki. Jesus Christ!
Oh shit, that's way different than what I did.
But no, I want. No, in all seriousness, you guys are great. So
well, we love you, Michael. You're my brother.
Go watch his movie.
Yes, please go watch the movie. He's begging you. He's on his knees begging you.
And no, we're very indifferent if you watch the movie, but we're letting you know it's out there if you want to see.
I'm gonna beg you. Oh, please watch this fucking movie. Oh my god!
I think people will be surprised. They'll have a good time. They'll laugh. They'll call their parents.
I think so.
Or their children, depending on how old they are.
Matt, any final thoughts today?
I will build on Michael and say I'm proud of all of us because it's a very unique and rare thing to, from nothing, make something. And it's a complete something. It's a good story well told. It's a very simple idea. And it's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do something simple that is clean, has a clean story, has a clean idea, and nobody moves around in their seat during the movie. It's not a shifting movie. It's a movie where everyone leans forward and then it's over. And you're like, that's all I've ever asked of in a story, is to just want to turn the page and then be like, oh, that was a good book. That was a good read. That was a good watch. And then you're like, go. And then you want to talk about it because you do. And so I'm proud of all of us because it was like a coming together of good ideas and good skill sets to all do something better than yourself. Because it is best. At its best, it's better than you. It's better than you would imagine because it's a good. It's above you. It's better than you. It's a story,
it's
right?
Okay. It's better than you.
It's better than you are.
You know, this movie's better than the audience.
Hell yeah, I love it.
We're going aggressive. We're going hard. Yep.
Go in with it.
No, but
two different dad styles.
But you feel good about yourself at the end of the movie. It's still better than you.
Right? I love it.
And I know. I mean, you know what I mean. Yeah. It's like. It's exciting to be part of a good story well told, and that's a simple thing that's hard to do.
And I know you've seen Matt in a ton of movies and stuff, but you've never seen him like this.
No,
like,
man.
He's so nuanced, so great. Like, he's gotten tremendous reviews.
Totally unlike his other movies where he's just flat. Boring.
Uninspired.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying.
That's what you just said.
He's always incredible.
Like his other movies.
And he's even more incredible in this
one. I'm so sorry,
How do you give a man a compliment? I don't know.
No, we just like to take him away. Yeah. That's what we do.
That's what we do. No, man, that's my final thought, is Matt Glave put, if you've ever seen this video out there of where a Packers player in a Madden game breaks his leg and he puts the team on his back. Greg Jennings put the freaking team on his back. Matt Glave puts the fucking team on his back, dude. This movie is Matt Glave's, like, fucking panacea, dude. You are incredible in this movie.
I thought the team played pretty well, though.
No, the team's great.
Okay.
But Matt Glave got the whole team on his back,
got
running
Emily
towards
Bay.
The end zone. And it's just like this video. The score is already 52 to fucking 30. You don't need to score the touchdown. But Matt's going to score the touchdown for the team anyway because he's just that good. That's how good Matt Glave is at acting in this movie. And yeah, man, I just love Walter. I want a sequel. I'll say it. I want a sequel because I want to hang with the guy more. I just like the guy.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like you as him, and I just want to see you in everything, and I hope that you're in everything that we ever
do. Well, he is in everything.
And I hope
you continue to be in everything.
I hope so, too.
That we make a teen movie, and you play a teenager in the movie.
I would be honored.
Step Brothers, they basically did that. Yeah.
I want to do it. We could do our kid food movie with Matt as one of the boys.
Oh, yeah. Our first day of high school movie.
There you go.
Or you're a transfer student.
I love
it. Outstanding.
We're just coming up with this on the spot.
See what I'm saying?
But you'll see it in
theaters.
We'll
see. He's from Dominican Republic.
He's the new baseball player for the team.
But all the teachers are played by children.
There you go.
Yes.
See?
This is a great movie. This is our next movie.
No, and then real quick too. Michael, dude, this, like what Matt was saying earlier, where some things you're like, oh, I really like this. I want this to be in the movie. And then when you watch it, you're like, wait, why isn't that in the movie? But then you watch the movie and you're like, it doesn't need it. And Michael's so good at identifying the things that you think you need and you don't, and just going, nope, you don't need it. I feel like I got a good eye for that when it comes to jokies and stuff. But this cat does it for whether it's, you know, part of integrating theme or like whether it's got to do with like putting scenes together. And you're like, well, what about this scene? These two don't bridge to each other. Oh, no. You don't. Like, he takes all the air out of the things that you think that you need, and
he's always
and he gets
calm.
Right to the meat of what it is.
You're like the opposite of me. I'm always like in a panic, and you're always just very calm.
Very calm.
Like even
Zen
when
Gallagher.
Like, yes. Even when like it's really stressful things, like I remember like during Smiley and like during even like your friends days when you guys were scrambling to like go to Kinko's and make posters and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And like you guys were scrambling and like you would say the words like we're scrambling and we're stressed right now, but on the outside you and Jana are just like so fucking calm.
True.
Like, and that's the other thing, we gotta pimp out Jana.
We haven't talked about Jana. I know you gotta wrap it up.
I said how very dripping she was.
That's a review. But no, Jana plays Macglave's daughter.
And she also co-produced
And she this. Produced the film. Yeah. And yeah. she is With amazing. She's amazing she's in the amazing. Movie. And Emily Bette Rickards plays Kim.
Felicity from in Arrow.
Felicity in Arrow. Yes. And this is, I think, her first lead role. And
she killed it.
Yeah, she's so good.
She's great.
And she plays a really tough character who goes through a tremendous amount. And
also, as a person, Emily Bette's just like one of those people that you just want to be best friends with, or you feel like you're best friends with her. Like yeah.
she's incredible.
She's very like just such a good person.
Yeah, we were so lucky to have such cool people for the whole shoot. There was no bad egg.
No, you know? No.
Sometimes you get a bad egg and they throw the whole thing off. But this, we had like the greatest crew, the greatest cast. Like it was just fun. It's been a joy to do.
My final thought is this is my favorite project that I've ever been part of. So there's that.
And you get to see a side of Nikki Limo you haven't seen.
That's true. I do take my shirt off still. Yes. But I wear like
that's a side that they know. But we're talking about a side that maybe perhaps they haven't seen.
Yeah. Also, my favorite script that either of you have written. Not that the other scripts are bad or anything. They're great. But this is my favorite.
This is how
one.
She compliments.
This is my favorite one.
I can't wait till you guys have children and be like, this is my favorite child.
Yep.
The other ones
are
great.
Have
They're fine. The other kids are fine.
We've already decided we that favorites. We will have favorites. I said I'm not going to say mine. He said he's going to tell them which
Daily.
One.
Daily.
Matt, do you have a favorite child?
Well, no, I was going to say, I was going to imagine you guys, like before you even have them, you just pick like your second's probably going to be your favorite.
I think the first one, yeah.
Yeah, because we're both first child, so he's the first boy.
First boy.
We kind of already have a bias.
I had a favorite child.
I'm not the first man.
I did have a favorite child.
Until the second one was born.
I mean, I know it sounds cheesy, but it was like I didn't want a second child at first because I was like, but I'm going to not know how to split it. I don't know how to do that. And then my second daughter, and it was just like, it's amazing. You just kind of widen your base and you got more room and that's all there is.
Are you putting me on? It's crazy. Hang on, we'll turn it off. We're turning it off. It's off.
Turn this shit off.
It's completely off.
Okay, we're off.
You're off the record.
I see red lights.
No.
I have one favorite. I do have a favorite.
You do have a favorite.
Yeah, and her name is Vanessa.
Oh, shit.
And I'm not kidding. I'll say it again. Just to be clear.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore her the most.
All right.
That's the only name you remember.
Love it.
Where can they find you? At Totally Sketched on Instagram. Don't find Macglave on Instagram.
You won't find him.
I'm trying
unless
to
unless you're
there.
In the Hamilton family or whatever.
I have
whatever.
To get one of my favorite daughters to open up my Instagram account.
Okay, please do. Can you please do Instagram? We would love to tag you on stuff.
I'm going to do it today.
Yes.
I'm going to call Roxy today and say she's director of media for me now.
So oh, okay.
I just hired a PR firm
there you
named
go.
Roxy.
That's a good demographic to be a media firm.
His social media manager is his daughter.
That's a good age.
Yeah. You can find us on iTunes at Funny Stories.
There it is.
I plugged it.
And what about Amazon? Where does one find it on Amazon?
I think if you just type in Funny Story movie, watch it, it'll show up on Google.
It's now for Amazon?
No, when the time they watch it, it's out.
I see.
Now it's not out. Oh, but it will be.
Yeah. I understand.
So we're talking about the future.
Yeah.
We're doing some time travel here.
Mm-hmm.
You can also just go to Put Locker.
And we're done.